Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, I got a flashback request here on the Phil Hendry Show, Comb Over Boy coming up. And here it is. This is from Carell in the Bay Area. It says, Phil, the first time I listened to Phil, dear Phil, the first time I listened to Phil, he was doing a bit where Steve Dooley was suing Jerry Lewis for coming on TV looking like a circus sideshow. I've wanted to hear that one ever since. If you know the bit, please play it. Thanks, Carell. Here it is, Carell. It's from our, it's actually from September of 2003. We had to cut it down, man, because it was a long one, huh? But here it is, Jerry Lewis and the Jerry Lewis Telethon.
I feel so sorry for you, you know, and I feel sorry for your children.
I feel sorry for Jerry Lewis coming out looking the way he do.
Let me just finish what I'm going to say.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
Are you an English woman, ma'am?
Pardon?
Are you an English woman, ma'am? You sound like you're an English woman.
I'm Welsh, but I live in Canada.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Right. I was always taught, right from a child, to look and feel sorry in a way for people that have a disability because they themselves can't help it.
Well,
how do you look at it?
Well, my wife was angry at me for allowing the kids to see a monster.
Why didn't you turn it off?
Yes, ma'am, I do, but Jerry Lewis tricked me into thinking there wouldn't be no sideshow freaks on his show.
Yeah, now, but you know something? Jerry Lewis can't help having this disability. He's got an illness that he's taken steroids for.
Oh, there we go. See, every time somebody looks like a sideshow freak, well, I got an illness.
But he does look like a side freak. See, and I'm disgusted with you for even saying that word.
Did you ever see, because you're English, have you ever seen the Elephant Man show?
I'm not on about the Elephant Man. I'm on about Jerry Lewis at the moment.
I see very
little
difference.
Don't sidetrack something.
Yes, ma'am, but I'm trying to say that the Elephant Man, Jerry Lewis, or what have you, is all...
Wait a minute. You can't say that Jerry Lewis looks like the Elephant Man.
No way. No way.
Not to me, but to my daughter, who cried.
Oh,
also...
for God's sake. You know what? I'm really and truly so mad with you that you are putting the words in your children's mouth saying that he looks a freak.
Well,
he can't help it.
Yes, ma'am, but you being an English lady, you must have had heard of the Elephant Man and all the things he done.
Oh, come along. I think Jerry Lewis, you know what? I'm so proud of Jerry Lewis.
Are you related to him?
He has done a fantastic work.
Yes, he has. He's raised...
He really has.
$60 million he raised yesterday in the telethon.
And that's the other thing that I think...
And you're after it just to get the money.
Can you imagine... I said a joke to my kids, and they were not laughing, but I tried to help them. I said, can you imagine Jerry Lewis saying, hey, lady, I'm not an animal. Hey, lady. You know how he done that? But they were upset, and they were crying. And
the kids were crying, and I think the point everybody's trying to make is you're going, oh, my God, Jerry Lewis, he looks like a freak. I mean, if you would have said, oh, you know, he's got a disease, and that's why he looks the way he does, I'm sure the children would not have reacted the way that you do.
Every time somebody does something like a monster, it's a disease.
Tell me something.
Alcoholism.
Tell me.
Yes,
have
ma'am?
You ever been sick in your life?
Ma'am.
Have you ever been sick in your lifetime?
Have I ever been sick? Looking like a freak? No, ma'am,
I didn't ask you that question. I asked, have you ever been sick in your life?
You mean mentally, or how do you mean?
No, with an illness.
He has a disability, it's
stupidity. Ma'am, okay, now I heard the lady in the background say that I'm stupid.
No, listen, I never said that. What I'm saying to you is, I had a husband...
Yes, ma'am?
10 years ago... who done everything he could for his children.
And
he died of cancer, melanoma.
Did your husband drink, ma'am?
Why do you keep asking if her husband drank?
Because he's an English person.
I beg your pardon?
All them Englishmen drink, don't they?
Oh, no.
Will you come on?
You know what?
If this English gal doesn't know anything about Jerry Lewis, because she's from the English state and they don't know nothing.
I'm not from England.
Are you
get your facts straight.
Are you French?
She's from Wales.
I'm from England, and my husband didn't drink.
All the English persons drink and beat their wives.
Got to watch your language. What? You just got that nice Welsh lady to say B-U...
I know how to spell it.
What are you crying about?
Because... Jerry Lewis comes out looking like the Elephant Man and he's yelling at me.
Yeah. Come on. That wasn't Steve Dooley. That was Steve Bozell. Jerry Lewis comes on looking like the Elephant Man and everyone... By the way, I hear that Jerry Lewis is back down to normal. So, wasn't he on Letterman the other night? He looks very good. I never thought the cat looked bad. I thought he looked like me. But he put on some weight. People look at me now and they go, so is it cancer, Phil? Or why is you, in other words, why is your face bloated? It's called fat. In fact, I talked to my wife today because I spent a couple of nights at the beach. And she says, how are you? And I literally caught, I listened. It was almost like, I don't know if you have those moments when you are observing yourself. In other words, you're doing what you're doing, but you're also watching yourself doing it. In fact, there's a term for that in psychology. That's a part of our mind called the watcher. Okay? And
what is it?
It's called the watcher.
What is that?
It's the part of our mind that watches us.
Is it God?
It's not God, bud. It's a psychology thing, man. Boy, I'll tell you, if you're trying to get me angry.
No, what are you talking about? No one knows.
The watcher is a part of the human psyche. There's parts of us. There's the shadow. That's our dark side.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Darth. Jesus H.
Anyway, man, so I'm, doing this, and I heard myself say to my wife, she says, how are you, honey? I said, I'm getting fatter every day, and I did a, in other words, there was kind of like the fat shortness of breath to go with it, so it was very authentic. All right, coming up, comb over, boy, 1-800-449-8686. We also have some email to read. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget, on November the 11th is our webcast. I have some news about the TV show that we're involved in for NBC. It's now called Teachers. It's not Fillmore Middle anymore. It's called Teachers. And Sarah Alexander, who's our star, she's a terrific actress and is one of the main players. Sarah is, she has pneumonia. She's still in England with pneumonia. And so her lazy, I mean, she is getting over that. And when she does, then we're going to have what's called a table read, where we all sit at a table and we read. Not necessarily the script, we just bring in some reading. I'll have some Nazi books, I'm sure other people will have their interesting reading. And we just sit together around a table for an hour and just do some reading. And someone will occasionally say, coffee? Oh yeah, some over here. And then we're done and we get up and leave. No, we'll read the freaking script and then we'll go do the thing. But apparently she's got pneumonia, so she's, you know, see, this is what happens. A lot of you chicks that are with that, I got to keep my weight down. Yeah, really? Yeah. Try pneumonia. What is it with you with that skin and bones look? I'm not saying a woman shouldn't have a beautiful figure. But when you're down to like one leaf of lettuce a day and you know that whole thing, you know, I really got to keep the weight down because I've got a photo shoot. Well, try pneumonia on for size, man. Try Spanish influenza. 40 million dead. I'm just kidding around.
No, really. What is the watcher?
Well, this is the watcher here. See, on the palm of my hand.
Yeah.
Ow! Yeah. Oh, whoa. You didn't see that one coming, did you, you putz?
I'll get you back for that.
1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
From Los Angeles, it's the Comb Over Boys Show. Hello, Los Angeles. This is the Comb Over Boys Show. This is a different kind of talk show with a different kind of host. I'm not a right-wing whacker, a convicted fella, no. I am your host. Three guesses what that means. First two don't count, and I don't have the third. I, me, with a funny-sounding voice, I'm your host. This is my real host, and this is a different kind of talk show. It's a different kind of host. We talk about the issues that you... That you...
What's the matter, Comb Over?
It's the nail gun.
I'm sorry, they were doing some drywall.
Oh! We talk about the issues that you...
I'm sorry, I gotta get that out of there.
Get the nail gun out of here, Billy! Stretch or Geek or Stench or whatever your freaking name is. Yeah. All right, I've got some great bumper music. Here on the Comb Over Boys Show, as you know, we've got some of the best bumper music. It's the best excuse for not having a show. And believe me when I tell you, I don't have a show, and a lot of you people agree. That's why you stick with me each and every day, because you're too dumb to know it, too. Yeah! So I want to talk here on the program tonight very, very briefly here on the Comb Over Boys Show. And So I was doing something the other day that a lot of you guys find yourselves doing from time to time. Now, I know you know what I'm talking about. You got it. I was having sex with my grandmother. Now, there's nothing unusual about that. Granted. Nothing unusual about that at all.
2, 3, 4.
And the pauses between my sentences and words enabled me to do a 5-hour show and go home and think about it and play with myself. Now, I was having sex with my grandmother, and suddenly her husband comes home. Now, as you know, this is the show where young men come to know how to really kick your game. You want to know how to kick your game, you listen to Combe. Listen to Boy. So anyway, as I was saying before I interrupted myself, I'm having sex with my grandmother, and in walks her husband. All right, now it doesn't take a genius to understand that my grandmother's husband is my grandfather. So I said, "Grandpa, what are you doing here?" And he says to me, "Well, I live here." Well, wait a minute, it gets better. I'm just getting warmed up. This is unbelievable. So there I am, doing an everyday, ordinary thing that we all do, those of you who listen to Combe Over 101, putting it to my grandmother, as I usually do on Monday nights, with the game on, and so I try to get back to what I'm doing, right? The guy comes in and says, I say, "What are you doing here?" And he says, "Well, I'm your grandfather." And I said, "Well, why are you here?" And he says, "Well, I live here." So I'm rolling that one around. He lives here. I don't get it. So I get back to having sex with my grandmother, and this guy, who is my grandfather, comes in with a shotgun and says he's going to blow my thing off if I don't get out, and he calls me sick and degenerate. And he's crying and he's screaming, and my grandmother's laying there half conscious because, you know, every now and again, it's fun to kind of soften him up a little bit with a left and a right. And she's pretending like she didn't enjoy it. That's something else. I know a lot of you guys out there, you share this in common with me. You beat a woman up, and then right away she pretends like she didn't like it. What is that about? Give me a call right here, 1-800-TOM. Why don't you get off the air? Your show is so old and tired. That's 1-800-TOM. You got no game. All right, let's go to a phone call here. And this is Ricky. Hi, Ricky. You're on the Combe Show. This is Boy. How you been?
Hi, Boy. How are you?
Do you care?
That's so creative. I wanted to ask you, just because Phil Hendry's funnier than you, that doesn't mean we don't still like listening to how funny sounding your voice is. I was wondering if you had a comment on that. I'll hang up and turn down my radio.
That's a very good point. Phil Hendry is way funnier than me. And it just really cracks me up how funny he is, funnier than me. It just makes me, he doesn't realize how pathetic he is being so funny. He doesn't get it. He doesn't get that he's so funny, he blows my doors off and makes me look like the dork that I am with no game and no show. It's just pathetic. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Hi, Combe. I heard about your dilemma. I want to ask you, Phil Hendry's on at night and you're on in the afternoon. How come you always talk about him?
That's a very good point. I'll tell you why. I talk about him because I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed with Phil Hendry because ever since he made me look like a real douche at the R&R convention, I've had it on for him, you know? And getting back to my grandmother, so I beat her up and I leave her there with a pool of blood on her pillow, and my grandfather's threatening to kill me. What about that? Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Comeover. How are you?
Do you care?
Oh, God, will you stop with that? Comb, can I ask you something? Do you understand the Comeover Boy bit that Phil Henry does?
No, I don't. I don't understand it. I don't think anybody does. It is so utterly ridiculous. I don't understand it at all. Does he think that's funny? Does he really? Because I don't understand if he thinks it's funny. Take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I was calling. I wanted to know, is this, when did the station flip Spanish?
Flip Spanish? Why did you say that?
I don't understand. Are you speaking Spanish right now?
Am I speaking Spanish? Why do you think I'm speaking Spanish?
Well, what is all these? Holy you sound like some freaking frog.
Well, boy, you don't like the French, huh?
What?
I said you don't like the French, huh?
I don't understand.
I said you don't like the French. Is that right?
You don't. What are you? What is this, man? Is this Versailles? What am I sitting there on the Maginot Line? Oh, God, I hate you.
Listen, sir, all you have to do is turn your radio to another station.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch? What the hell?
Oh, I don't get it, man.
Hey, Colm.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, how about taking me out with a bong hit?
Okay, here goes. I lost my sound effect.
You know, that bong hit thing's real lame, man. It's just real lame. Really lame. Just.
All right, thanks a lot. So you can see people are digging it. People are digging Comb 101. But I want to get back to my grandfather. What was he doing in that house? And what has he got a problem with me beating up his wife for? Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, can you take me out with a bong hit?
Sure.
Wow, I think I'm going to go and just have an orgasm.
All right, yeah. Hi, you're on the air.
Take me out with a bong hit.
Is this the same guy?
Yes. I just one more. Thank you.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Colm. I want to know something.
Yeah?
What does that mean, take me out with a bong hit? What does that mean?
Well, you know, it's, smoke marijuana?
Yeah, I smoke it, so. What, I mean, like, you want to let everybody know? It's already hot enough out there, you lame ass. You want to make it hot for everybody, huh? You want 20 years? Is that what you want, huh? You know, possession for sale? Do you understand the concept of that, you lame dip?
Do you want me to take you out with a bong hit?
No! No, I don't!
So you don't, smoke?
Yes, I smoke, you jackass! I don't want to be taken out with a bong hit! Keep it cool, baby!
Yeah, sure. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, go ahead, take me out with another bong hit.
Who's this?
The same guy that called it two other times. There, you got your jollies?
Well, thanks so very, very much. Hey, listen, we're going to be back next hour. And next hour, I'm going to be taking an entire 50 seconds between each word so that I'll try to do an entire four-hour show saying only six words. The Comeover Boy Show. He doesn't know he's lame. You're listening to the Comeover Boy Show here on KLUTALAMAS, Austin, Texas. Yeah, that's it. Just let it trail out for another minute, man. That'll kill some good time, too. What? Comeover, we ran out of bumper music. Well, hit it again. Don't you have anything to say? No, I told you. I only, like, four words an hour. Well, we got... Oh, yeah! We'll be right back!
Hey, Comb, can you take me out with a bong hit?
Sure!
No, let's not and say we did.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
What?
He's on line two.
Who is?
Father McCorder.
Hey, Father, how you doing?
Phil, I'm not doing too good tonight because I heard the rip job you did on the boy. Phil, I don't think...
Oh, come on, Father. I mean, I was just giving him a little...
You know, Phil, Comeover. Comeover's like all of us. He's like all of God's children. He's trying to struggle for the world, Phil.
Okay, how come he's got to comb his hair over?
I don't think the boy combs it over any longer, does he? And if he does, Phil, he's got his reasons. You know, Phil, years ago when the boy was starting out at radio, doing his thing, he was like you, struggling, trying to succeed. And now the boy has a show. Well, he doesn't have a show, but now he's got a time slot. Well, let's say he's got somewhere to go every day.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Father.
Look, Phil, all I'm saying is, I don't want you to burn in hell. I don't want Satan himself putting it to you with a plunger handle. And so, Phil...
Why would the devil put it to me with a plunger handle? Because I did a little bit of shtick about boy.
Because I've got myself a comb-over 101 bumper sticker, don't you know? You douche!
See ya.
See ya? Is that... That's it, huh?
Yeah, that's it. Get out of here. Don't ever put him on the air again without telling me first.
I did.
Oh, yeah, you did. So anyway, getting back to what we were talking about, which is far more important, the Kansas City Chiefs used to play at Metropolitan Stadium in Kansas City. And when you turned on the TV to watch those games, this is what you saw. The Kansas City bench and behind them just a wall. And it would say Kansas City Chiefs American Football League. And when the Patriots played at Fenway, they're playing toward the Green Monster. See, when football teams play in baseball stadiums, it's cool looking, but it's also frightening because they're, what are the, oh yeah, that's dirt, I forgot, you know, there's the baseball thing, and then here they come, oh, look at this, they're celebrating, the Houston Astros have won the entire World Series. I'm kidding. That's a tape from the other day, Harry, don't worry about it, man. Chicago's going to take this series. You know, you're going to want them to lose here. They're going to go back to Chicago. In any event, when they play, like when the Bears played at Wrigley Field, there's that wall with the ivy. The worst looking stadium for football on God's earth is that Alameda toilet up there in Oakland. And as long as we are brand new in San Diego tonight on free radio, free FM, let me ask you guys. Now, you got a stadium for the baseball team. How come there ain't one for the football team? Or is that like a dumb question? In other words, you got that Petco Park, which is a beautiful park. And what are the charges, man? Is freaking chopped liver down there? Well, next thing you're going to have them playing where? Back at the Balboa Stadium? If ever a team needed a stadium, it's the football team, not the baseball team. As long as I'm on down there, I've been saying this for years, but no one cares. Because why? I'm basically the only station I'm on in California is in L.A. North, okay? Santa Barbara, everything up. Down south, the cats down there, man, they might as well be in Mexico. So let me ask you something. Why is it the Padres get a baseball stadium and the Chargers have got to sit down there in the middle of that Murphy with that funky, funky, funky one way in and one way out, man? You know what I mean? As in plunger handle? In other words, when you're going into Jack Murphy Stadium or whatever they're calling it now, Qualcomm or Chipmunk Park or whatever, when you're going in there, man, it's like taking it with a plunger handle and you're the handle. And then I remember watching a game when I was a kid when the Chargers played at Balboa Park. And because they didn't have the blimp in those days, and because the end zone seats at Balboa Park were, or Balboa Stadium, whatever the hell they call it, were maybe there was only about five seats, they brought in a crane. ABC, which did the games in those days, brought in a huge cherry picker. And right there behind the end zone is this enormous cherry picker with a bucket and a guy and a camera. And then halfway through the third quarter, you can hear the guy going, all right, the Chargers have the ball on the 20-yard line. In the background, you hear, oof, and it just collapsed. I'm joking. Just a little bit of hip interlude there, man, courtesy of the boy. 1-800-449-8686. Little email to read here. Email address is phs@philhenryshow.com. And our web address is www.philhenryshow.com. Our webcast is on the 11th. You need a backstage pass for that. How do you get it? You go to our website and you sign up for a backstage pass. It's only $6.95 a month. You have access to the deepest, widest, most, deep and wide archive of comedy and radio, man. You can get in there and just probe around. All you got to do is get that backstage pass. And while you're there, check out our Best of the Phil Hendry Show CDs. All the money we raise goes to my friend's place, a resource center for kids who are they can't take it any longer. They don't want to live with their scum-sucking parents. And their parents don't want them around anymore. So they're out on the streets and they need a place to go. And my friend's place is the joint. So we benefit them through the sale of our CD. We appreciate it very much. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I'd like to read some email, and this one is, this is kind of cool because a guy emails me. He is First Lieutenant Maskell. These guys never give their first name, these Army guys, you know, the military guys. First Lieutenant Maskell. It's not like Bob or anything. First Lieutenant Maskell, 3rd Platoon Leader in Iraq, and he writes, "Gentlemen, in regards to your scrapbook photo of the week with Tommy Folks Jr., we put up a picture on our website of a guy by the name of Tommy Folks who died in Iraq, and he was with the Company A, 2nd Battalion, 142nd Infantry. Don't ask me what any of that is. I think it's the Army? Or is that bad to say? Anyway, we put up his picture because it was sent to us by a listener, and he... You know, in memoriam to him, he had saw duty in Iraq and Afghanistan. And we mentioned that, you know, the people of Iraq voted 2 weeks ago because of guys like him. And I realize I'm showing my politics now, and I guess that's not really cool. But, you know, ask me if I care. You know, ask me if I really care. Are you, like, in support of the war or something? Maybe. Why? What's it to you? Well, I guess I'm not listening anymore. Oh, that'd be really good. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. Maybe I just happen to, you know, honor those guys. Maybe I just, you know, think that voting's cool. Maybe I think that they're better than, what you know, than Saddam. Maybe I think Saddam's a douche. Maybe I think Saddam should hang. Maybe I think they ought to put him on a meat hook. What do you think of that? Huh? Maybe I think he and Michael Moore ought to have themselves a hot dog and get married. I don't know. Maybe I think a lot of stuff. Anyway, we have this picture of Tommy Folks, and I got this email from First Lieutenant Maskell. It says, in regards to your scrapbook photo of the week with Tommy Folks Jr., I don't know your show. It just came up on a search engine hit under Tommy's name. He was an outstanding soldier, and he was a go-to man, quite reserved but dedicated to his guys and to his country. I wanted to say thanks for putting his picture on your website and honoring him by recognizing his sacrifice. First Lieutenant Maskell, 3rd Platoon Leader, 3rd Platoon Platoon Leader. I think is what it says. Very cool. Thank you, sir. And, you know.
You're not military. You can't salute good.
I did a salute. So what?
Did it with your left hand and everything.
What do you mean I'm not military? I can't salute good. What difference does it make?
Well, you know, the way you saluted, you'd think you'd take it with a plunger handle.
You filthy-minded.
Don't hit me.
Take it with a plunger handle, meaning I'm fey?
You have to hit me. Your hand was all limp.
What, is he just checking in to rip me? Just checking in to bust my castanets, huh? Because you call him.
I saw you throw a salute like you...
Uh-huh, yeah, go ahead, spit it out, bud. What's your big comeback? Come on.
Like you do hairstyles.
Oh, ouch. Like I'm gay, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Phil, picked up a backstage pass when you went off the air in Portland earlier this year. Would you love that? What do you mean we went on? I thought we're back on in Portland. Are we? I managed to listen to about half the bits, but never miss a second of your monologues. I think they're great. I've even gone out and picked up a biography of Alexander Hamilton to see what all the fuss is. Yeah, right, man. Which one did you read? I picked up one by Willard Stern Randall. Also, I don't know if you've read any of the Federalist Papers, but he's got some interesting thing. Look, dude, I just read one by Ron Chernow. It's a great book. Hamilton's a cool guy. I try to read, man. That's all I can tell you. I try to read. Oh, Phil, from your video log, Phil Goes to Work, I have been able to pinpoint exactly where you live. I will now begin some serious stalking since I live just up the road from you. No, wait. Now you are a big TV star working for your executive, co-executive, associate line, consulting, and just your regular type producers, so you'll be leaving too early in the morning, 4 a.m., for me to stalk you effectively. Have fun being around fools telling you what to do for about 18 grueling hours a day while we, your loyal listeners, are treated to best of Phil Hendry shows and become angrier and angrier as you go Hollywood on us and appear on the cover of TV Guide and People and you start saying things like, do lunch. Just kidding. Good luck with the TV show. Your radio show is still one of the funniest and most inventive shows I've ever experienced, but I still think you're kind of a douchebag for taking that TV show. I hope you die in a flaming wreck. Dennis Flatley, Santa Barbara. Thank you, Dennis. Dear Phil, what you do is incredible, unbelievable, but I'm not talking about your radio show. That blows. What you do for the kid... No, he didn't say that. says, what you do is incredible, unbelievable talent, but your charity work, who cares? John Taylor. Thank you, John. No, he goes on to say, I enjoy the show and most of the characters. You've heard this before, I'm sure, but you are one of a kind and have struck up something original in a world where everything's been done before. All there is Comb Over Boy and his endless prattling about putting it to his grandmother from behind. What? But what difference does that make? You have the best job in the world, John Taylor. Thank you, John. You're a nice man. Phil, just to let you know what a super wonderful, great, stupendous show you have. You are good, too. Keep it up. All right, I mean the good work. Jeez, I wasn't talking about your thing. Floyd, Lincoln, Nebraska. Huh?
Jesus, a guy named Floyd? He's liable to want you to grunt like a pig. What?
What are you, a sidekick, man? Gee. Phil, Lloyd frequently says, well, that tears it. I was watching The Searchers the other night, and John Wayne uses the expression at least once. Is that where you got it? Also, why Wyatt Earp for Vernon's blog? Did you know that Wyatt is buried in a Jewish cemetery in Colma outside of New York? He was married to a Jewish woman, Josephine Marcus, a girl from prominent German. Whatever. He ain't buried outside of New York. Wyatt freaking Earp is buried out in Riverside, man. I'm not kidding you. He lived in Riverside for a while. He lived in downtown L.A. in some crap can. Then he moved out to Riverside to, like, that new development out in Ontario. He and his wife had a home. I swear to God. Hey, Phil, are you still going to quit smoking? Yeah, sure. Renee. Okay? Well, there it is. And if you'd like to email me a bunch of garbage that I, you know, is tiresome to read, just send it to phs@philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
That tears it.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Now, on the 11th of November, we'll be doing our webcast, so... Hope you can, get a backstage pass for that. You can watch it. What happened? Oh, I got something. Oh, I might. What's going on, bud?
Nothing.
What's going on?
Nothing.
Then why do I sound like this and you sound normal?
I don't know. What are you talking about? Are you insane?
What do you mean, am I insane? Can you hear this?
No, I can't. You're scaring me.